All right, guys, I know I did I know AEW came on last night. I get it. And I watched AEW last night. Sometimes you gotta, a lot of times I'll be wanting to do these shows and just go over impulse. But if I do, you know, then it's like, I know people are like, well, that's your genuine, expression of what the fuck you just watched. And I'm like, okay, sometimes I might want to just mull over the shit sometimes. That's probably that's pretty much if wrestling is actually like okay and fine right now, I'm gonna try to mull over some stuff because right now I'm enjoying wrestling to the fullest. Like Dynamite was not bad of a show last night. Actually, we're about to get into that soon, okay? Right. Just want to get into a couple of stuff before I get into wrestling. You know, been watching, it's a reason that I love just regular season football. Because I'm so sick of the when preseason, NFL preseason mostly, more like, for the most part, not necessarily college football. Because the most college football has ever been talked about this whole offseason for their shit is what, Texas and Oklahoma trying to go to the, whatever conference the Alabama is in so they can make their conference more dominant than ever. Already, because Alabama pretty much dominates that shit. I think it's SEC. Yeah, SEC. They're trying to go to SEC. So, that's all I've been really talking about, but it's not, it really hasn't been annoying, but it's really more been, oh, okay, I would love to see that, because you would get a lot of Alabama versus Oklahoma, like a lot of contending teams that's trying to, get a national championship that's actually contending, instead of Alabama just dominating their own sec, because that's all the fuck that they do. Like right now, they already like just the favorites going in to just win the national championship in football. But I'm talking about the NFL. Like the NFL just gets like, Mac Jones or Cam Newton, this and that, Look, let me go over a couple of these storylines before I even get into wrestling. Because like I said, I don't just talk about wrestling, I talk about football. So let me get into football real quick. The Cam Newton and Mac Jones debate. They saying Mac Jones won the competition because Cam Newton is in COVID protocol and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. Let me tell you this, guys. And I could be wrong, but I'm going to just go off of instinct, okay? Judging off what I seen from Cam Newton last year, and, yeah, I know he's in COVID protocol because the thing when they say COVID protocol, if you listen, if you actually read what the fuck they say, people are like, oh, my God, he's caught COVID. No, it's COVID protocol, which means that they got his tests mixed up or whatever the fuck, but he still has to lay low just because they want to make sure. Me, personally, at the end of the day, I think it's Cam Newton's job to lose. And I don't think that he's actually lost a job. I look at it like this. With the Patriots, just be smart. You can still win with Cam Newton this year, and Mac Jones is your future. The debate is not that hard. With the like, they got like the easiest debate of a QB battle out of any team that supposedly supposed to have this QB battle. Just let Mac Jones chill. Not saying let Cam Newton be a scapegoat, but at the end of the day, the Patriots went 7-9 last year, and look how they went 7-9. It was actually impressive. They went 7-9 off of the fact that their team got hit with COVID like a bunch of other teams. A lot of their players opted out. You know what I'm saying? Like, their main guy, Cam Newton, caught COVID at a, particular point of their schedule because if he was healthy, the Patriots played the Chiefs tough without Cam Newton. The defense played the Chiefs tough, which means that they probably would have had Cam Newton. They probably would have won. They beat the Baltimore Ravens. They beat my team in a rainy game, like one of the most rainiest games I've probably ever seen in my life. It was so rainy that the high-tech NFL equipment couldn't keep the rain off of the shit. you know, it was so blurry. It was like, what the fuck is really going on? Like, was that what it was? What the fuck? Like, they beat us. And the Ravens was a playoff team. So if they would have had all their players, they never would have probably hit COVID. They probably would have been in the playoffs more likely. Hell, they probably would have won their division. People are like, well, the Bills are still in there. Yeah, well, the Bills, they, you know, the Patriots are still hanging in there, and they still got the Miami Dolphins to worry about. It's not hard. Bill Belichick is probably going to more likely start Cam Newton. Let Mac Jones still get wrapped, you know, let him cool his jets, and you'll be fine. And then let Mac Jones take over by, you know, because that's like pretty much the flavor that the Patriots pretty much started anyway. Think about it. What was it, the late 90s? I think the Patriots went to a Super Bowl against the Packers in what was it, like 1996 or 1997, one of them years, and they had Drew Bledsoe. They didn't win, but they were like a team. And then like a few years later, like a hand chunk of years later, you know, they got a guy named Tom Brady, took over for Drew Bledsoe. You know, not the same team, but it was a Drew Bledsoe ran team, and Bill Belichick is there, and they won a Super Bowl, and they've pretty much been ever since. They pretty much can rewrite the same ship if they want to, you know. Not saying it's going to be the same thing, because like I said before, and I'll say it again, this whole Tom Brady shit that's going on is it will never be seen again. And I already said this, and I believe wholeheartedly in this. The Michael Jordan effect, it can happen in the NBA, only because it's easy to build super teams and easily win an NBA championship in the NBA. As much as they would like to have this argument on sports shows and be like, it's harder to win an NBA championship more than an NFL championship, because in the NBA you got to do a best out of seven series, and the NFL is only a one and done. But you got to understand the level of football and basketball. With basketball, if you build up a super team and everybody is good, you know, at least if one person is like, okay, they don't look a little too healthy, but if, you know, because at the end of the day, everybody, like, are we really going to sit here and say, well, the Brooklyn Nets wouldn't have won a championship if everybody was healthy? No, they would have won the championship this year. Not discrediting the Milwaukee Bucks. Hell, injuries happen in sports. But what I'm saying is that it's easy to build a super team in the NBA more than in the NFL, because in the NFL, injuries can just happen like that on a flip side. People can say, well, it happened in the NBA too. Yeah, but off of fluke plays. Think about it. The play that when the Warriors were supposed to win their third championship with Kevin Durant, and he had got that Achilles. It was a fluke. It was a fluke injury play. Like nobody, he didn't even be touched. He wasn't even touched when he got the damn Achilles injury. Okay. Otherwise, the Warriors would have won third. This year, James Harden went out, or he was already not, you know, healthy, and Kyrie wasn't there. If they were all there, they wouldn't won the championship. Now with the fucking NFL, that's a little bit different. Think about the NFL for just a little bit. And then with the NFL, everything has to be right. It's not necessarily got to be a super team, but plays got to be called right. And, you know, the guys that play offense don't play defense. And the guys that play offense and defense might not necessarily play special teams. Sometimes the best player on the field, let's just say, for instance, Antonio Brown might be the best player on the field that night, but he might miss a catch that could possibly cost the game. And I mean, really cost the game. It could be fourth and one, and they could be easily be like, okay, well, we're going to give this. Matter of fact, we're going to easily give this play to Beast Mode, right? Let's just say, for instance, this is the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks should have won two straight Super Bowls. What happened that year? They played the Patriots after the year before when they beat the damn bricks off the Broncos. I've never seen a foot. And that's the thing. People always talk about last year's Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and they, oh my God, the Chiefs got rolled and everything. And the Chiefs should have won a second one in a row. You can say that. I more look at it like the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson should have had two more than that. Patrick Mahomes. See, with Patrick Mahomes, you can always look at the simple fact that, well, his offensive lineman was down, so he had to run for his fucking life. Otherwise, they would have had to. But that's not an excuse. That's just the reality of the situation. With the Seahawks, it was no reality of the situation. You're at the goal line. You have beast mode. I think you're like 2 or 3 yards away, probably even 1. I can't even fucking remember. And I remember looking at that game, and I'm like, they're giving it the beast mode. And they didn't. And Russell Wilson threw a fucking interception. That's the last exact play that Russell Wilson ever threw in the Super Bowl until he goes back to another one. That's the last play he ever done. Threw an interception. To Malcolm Butler, of all people. And Malcolm Butler, let's be honest. Was he ever really a good defensive guy? No. Russell Wilson made a bad play. He made a bad choice. Whoever was the offensive coordinator at the time made a bad choice. Pete Carroll made a bad judgment call. Because Malcolm Butler, let's be honest, after he did that, was he ever like relevant again? No. The Patriots gave him up a year later, and he hasn't been shit since. You know, Seahawks should have been, you know, see, the Patriots should have only had 5 Super Bowls, and Brady should have only had 6 instead of 7 if it wasn't for the fucking Seahawks. And let's be honest, if that, because of the fucking Rams. But that's a story for another day. As a matter of fact, that's not even a story for another day. Let's just be honest. The Rams choked. Not the defense, but the offense choked. Sean McVay choked. Jared Goff choked. The whole offense choked. Everything they did their whole entire season didn't mean shit. The number one ranked offense, or number 2, whatever the fuck it was, didn't mean dick. Tom Brady got in your way. So, football is different, you know. You can morally 9 times out of 10 call basketball. Let's be honest. Everybody in the 90s that was, like, following the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan was on the team, they knew 9 times out of 10 he was winning the championship. And now everybody be like, well, what about LeBron? And no, well, people probably already knew that, you know, he was going to probably make playoffs, make finals, but probably not win a lot of them. But you had Kobe in them, Tim Duncan in them. You know, it's all what you with. But with the Super Bowl, it's a little bit different. Think about this for a minute. The 2012 season, nobody didn't really check for the Ravens to win the damn Super Bowl. We had Joe Flacco, and we still won the Super Bowl. Why? Because everything had to be called in place. Your team got to get hot at the right time. And then you got to play a perfect playoff season. You got to be perfect because you got to win every fucking game to win the Super Bowl in the playoffs. And that's what, and you know, that's pretty much what it is. It's one and done. It's any given Sunday. That's pretty much what football is, any given Sunday. You can be the best team. The Bulls is always the best team, but the Jazz got some of the Bulls. Like, I think their last run, they went 4-2. So, let's be honest, the Jazz beat the Bulls in 2 games. You know, they were, you know, at least credible to beat them in 2 games. So, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say, but my point is, when it comes to the NFL, we can sit here and say, oh, the, you know, people talking about we're predicting the Buccaneers to go 20-0, or the Chiefs to go 20-0, or this team, that team. We don't really fucking know. That's why I always go into a season picking a dark horse. And usually when I be like, okay, I'll go into picking a dark horse, that dark horse that I pick always make noise. And I'm saying it this year. My dark horse is the Cardinals. I really feel like they'll make noise because I just feel like a lot of people are sleeping on them. A lot of people that's calling for their division saying that they're going to be last, and I don't think that's going to be the case at all. And it's not because of the offense or the personnel that they have and everything. It just everything that comes with it. I just feel like Clint, you know, King Cliff Kingsbury, whatever the fuck his name is, they built up a roster slow. They changed the culture. You have a quarterback that you can get behind. You got core pieces around him. The team has been on a come up for the past few years. That's how you build up an NFL team. I mean, that's how you build up any team unless you're in the NBA. Because sometimes you can just build up a team like that, a la the Bucks, but you just get faced with adversity of super team at the super team at the super team at the super team. It just happened to be this year, all the super teams was fucking injured. Now, with the NFL, it's a next man up league. The NBA is not necessarily a next man's up league. But the NBA, the NFL is. Let's just say, for instance, Antonio Brown go down. You might have a wide receiver that people didn't really get the chance to fucking catch their eye on like that, and he could just straight snap like that. So, it's like I said before, I think the Cardinals are my sleeper team, and not just because of, you know, just, oh my God, they got this guy, this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. I just looked at the slow build on that team, and it's like, okay, it's slow building. And I'm looking at the Cardinals. I'm looking at the Jaguars, how I looked at the Cardinals 2 years ago. Give it a slow build. Now, do I think that they're probably going to start Trevor Lawrence a little too early in his career? Yeah, no. I just look at the situation because I seen people online earlier today talking about, they starting Trevor Lawrence and he's going to get hurt and all this other stuff. Yeah, no. I look at it like this. Number one overall pick. Who else do you have on the QB depth chart to really give you the best chance to win? Because I know for a fact you got to look at the organization as a whole. They really don't want to be what you would call have the number one pick again. They just want to they don't want to have picks enough to get, you know, to build around them, because I'm quite sure they do want to do that. And I'm quite sure it's probably some reality in the situation, but they probably looked at Trevor Lawrence and said, okay, instead of, I guess they had, I'm going to say they had 2 wins last year. They probably had 1. They upgraded by at least 4 more wins, probably, at the most. Because I think the Texans are probably going to be the worst team in the NFL. Only by consideration of their quarterback is not, you know, in the right head space. He's probably not going to play. They tore apart the entire, you know, organization. They had to switch coaches. That, you know, when you do that to an NFL team, it's like, okay, now you got to look at some stuff. And that's why I think the Texans probably will be like, they had the first overall pick. Don't know who in the hell will be the best quarterback this year. And the thing is, I say that because we knew for years, for the past couple of years, we knew quarterbacks coming out of drafts, you know, for the past couple of years that was going to get picked. Like, you know, when you looked at the 2018 year, I think we had, was it 2018? 2017, matter of fact. You had Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson in that daggone draft. Then in the 2018, you had at least 5 QBs. I think in 2019, I don't know who the fuck did you get in 2019? Oh yeah, Kyler Murray. 2020. I'm trying to figure out who the fuck you got in 2020. Like the Justin Herberts of the world. You know what I'm saying? You got him. And I mean, he was a hot commodity even in college football. Everybody was talking about him even before the year started. And then last year you had Trevor Lawrence was always the talk. Him, Tua, you know, Mac Jones for Alabama. But this year it's like maybe whatever quarterback Alabama throws at you, because Alabama always has a good roster, and then it's everybody else. Maybe the guy from Clemson, I forgot his name, but you got to actually watch college football to know. But it's like this year is like up in the air, because it's like, well, who the fuck is going to be a good quarterback? Like this might be the year where the QBs, as far as this year coming in, might take a dive a little bit. And then, I mean, and like I said before, I'm just naming off guys. Maybe I'm just saying Alabama just for the hell of it, but the guy that they get might not, you know, go into the draft until like 2-3 years later. That's just the reality of the situation with college football. So, what the fuck are we really like? So what the fuck are you really looking at? Like, so whoever gets the first round pick, you might not necessarily get a quarterback. I don't know any quarterbacks that's coming out of this year. So that's just the reality of the situation. That's just the football talk of it all. Some of the NBA talk of it all. About to get into some AEW right now. Okay, so let me get into AEW now. Get out the football talk. I enjoyed Dynamite last night. I did miss a couple of dead tidbits. You know, bathroom breaks had to be involved in, but I don't think I missed a whole lot. I did catch, if I must say I'm a cat, I caught everything that I was supposed to catch. And I'm going to just get into that, you know. Because like I said, at the end of the day, why go over, and I say it again, why go over stuff bit by bit, with match by match, move by move? And it's like, okay, just watch it again, right? Because at the end of the day, these type of shows, just go over the main shit. That's like if I'm watching a football analyst show, and I know I just got football, but you're going over the football shit, first down by first down, play by play, you know, and then it's just like, well, what the fuck? Let me just go over the, what you call the meat and potatoes. The reason why, you know, the Ravens lost to the Steelers or the Steelers lost to the Ravens. Let's get into the meat and potatoes. Somebody throw an interception. Somebody got sacked real bad. This play, that play. Meat and potatoes, right? Let's get into the meat and potatoes and everything. The first thing I want to get over, to go over, matter of fact, was the fact that I swear I think Dynamite changed overnight. Last week, I was saying Dynamite need to, like, you know, I said CM Punk is coming in. And this is before AEW Rampage even introduced CM Punk, like, officially. Because we already knew unofficially he was coming. And I said unofficially, I said, when this guy comes in, he's going to get on that microphone. You don't have to tell him what to talk about. He already pretty much know it. You might give him a bullet point here and there too. But he knows what to speak on. He knows how to do this. CM Punk knows it. He's going to do it. And that's going to change everything. And when he was on that mic for at least a good, I'll say at least 15 minutes, because the whole segment, if you watch it on YouTube, it's about 20 minutes long. But the entrance alone was just epic in itself. Before he even got to the mic. You know, he didn't even really have to speak that night for it to be epic. And he talked. And the way that he talked is just in a way where you're like, okay, these AEW guys got to get with the program, because now the segments are going to get to the point the way you got to, you know, you got to really, you know, you got to really, you know, get these guys, you know, they got to know where they're going with this shit, right? And what I seen last night was the AEW started doing a flow where when they started, they had a match. I forgot what match they had. I don't want to go over it. I'm going to believe it was a tag match between, I'm going to say, the Lucha Bros. And I forgot the other tag team, but I remember the Young Bucks standing on the stage. Like I said before, I'll get these guys' names right in due time. And it was a fine match, because it was like, okay, that's like the hot point. You know, you want to keep your fans hot and engaged, because at the end of the day, you know what they're waiting on. It's a CM Punk interview. They're going to do a CM Punk interview with Tony Schiavone. And it's not going to be epic as, let's say, the one on Friday night. But when CM Punk gets a microphone, we have to listen. That's like when we were all watching WCW back in the day. And let's say they got a certain guy, like, let's say, I don't know, Roddy Piper, he came in. When Roddy Piper got on the microphone, everybody listened. It didn't matter. You know, Ric Flair got on the mic, it didn't matter. Certain guys get on the microphone, it don't matter. You just got to stop, look, and listen. Right? They did a match, and then they got a segment in. And the segment that I really was interested in seeing was the Chris Jericho match, Chris Jericho one, because what I noticed what they did on Rampage was like, okay, we're going to not have Jericho here on Rampage to commentate like we were supposed to on Rampage, you know, each week, because this is the second week. It's not like we had, like, you know, let's say 10 straight episodes of Rampage and we had Chris Jericho. But the norm is supposed to be Jericho commentates Rampage, and, you know, he wasn't there. And for good reason he wasn't there, because they don't, you know, let the star, all the star power go to CM Punk. But at the same time, tell a story at the same time. What happened on Dynamite, you know, Jericho's not here. He's got to collect the thoughts and everything. And pretty much they kind of collected that over to Dynamite last night. And he did collect his thoughts. And now we have another added match on, I don't know what the damn pay-per-view was called. And I don't want to be an asshole to the pay-per-view, because I'm watching the pay-per-view. But I just feel like they should have already had this in place. They, like, it just felt like last match wasn't needed. But I felt like, you know, AEW was just probably had a hard time in telling stories anyway. So they just probably just, let's just do it again. Well, let's just add a stipulation this time. If Chris Jericho don't beat MJF this time, he will not wrestle again. So I don't know which way they're going to go. Because I can go the route where they're like, well, MJF's not going to beat Jericho a third. What was it, a fourth time? Because I think he beat him three times already. He's not going to beat him a fourth time. But then I can go the route where they're like, well, Jericho might be in the whole situation where he might want to fucking retire. I don't know. The man is in his 50s. Early 50s, might I add. I don't want to say mid-50s like he's old as dirt. Because me, personally, I don't think 50s is old. But I know that's, yeah. And Chris Jericho just looked like he's, like, Chris Jericho's worked a lot of matches over his years. And it's like, I just think that the guy needs a well-rounded rest. It's like, me personally, I would just like to, if I was Jericho's best friend, I would just tell him, look, time is over, okay? I love to see you in the ring. I love you. The nostalgia of it all, and the way you pretty much, you know, come across with the fans and everything. You can reinvent yourself on a whim. It doesn't fucking matter. But I want to personally say, on a personal level, I just think it's Jericho's time to just be like, okay, just get away. Because a lot of the guys that Jericho's worked with, the era that he's came, that he was with, think of the era that Jericho came from. You know, and with him, when you say his era, you think of, his era spans over pretty much everybody, right? So you can say anybody's name. When you say Nitro, think of Jericho back in his early years. And I'll just start from Nitro. Because even with Nitro, it spans over early, like with the, you know, let's not say the name, but the Chris Benoit's, the Malenko's, the Eddie Guerrero's, you know, Goldberg, you know, Kevin Nash, Sting, Conan, Roddy Piper, even going to WWF, Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, Kane, Shawn Michaels, Christian, Edge, Jeff, Matt, the Dudleys, even later, Kevin Owens, all these guys. This guy, Chris Jericho, spanned decades of wrestling. The guy just deserves to just sit at a booth and just commentate. And then he can still work out and still try to stay in shape if he wants and still do Fozzy. But the guy earned it. I just feel like they should just let MJF get this big-ass rub on his career. Because later on in the career that he has, he's going to have to go up against a guy like CM Punk or a Bryan Danielson or Kenny Omega. And he's going to have to produce more, because he's going to have that rub, that look like Roman Reigns. Not necessarily, but I beat, you know, or Brock, like I beat Undertaker at WrestleMania, and or Roman Reigns' case, I made him retire or put him on the shelf, whatever the fuck you want to give Roman Reigns at this time, right? You can kind of give MJF that rub in AEW, like, look, Chris Jericho is one of the declarated athletes of all time in professional wrestling history, and I made this motherfucker retire. Because MJF can pull that that type of shit off. Because at the end of the day, the one thing that I always loved that I wanted to see was CM Punk coming to, well, I was going to get into this later, but let me get into it now. Because, like I said, the way they set it up, AEW Dynamite, which is perfect, it was like after they did this segment and Jericho kind of thought it over, and Jericho's, you know, he's at that age where he can just go glossy-eyed now on a whim like how Ric Flair does. Even though I believe that it's genuine, he's tearing up because he's probably just thinking at the thought, like, what if I do retire? That's all Chris Jericho has done. He really hasn't taken no breaks from wrestling except from 05 to 07. And wrestling, that's like a cup of coffee, right? So, it's going to be good to see this pay-per-view is going to be good to see because they got matches all over the board, okay? And then that gives me to the next thing. They did like two more matches, and then I think they went straight CM Punk, Tony Schiavone. Now, the thing that I wanted to get in before I get into the segment was that, I would let MJF beat Jericho, just personally. Just let, I know Jericho, he's always been in this situation to give guys, get guys over. It's a good story for MJF. You figure you let him beat Jericho, get him over. You don't need Jericho to really wrestle that many matches anymore. You got Jericho there already. He can pretty much do his thing, in the back because he's going to be there to help guys get over. Maybe in, next year or 2 years, only way he'll go to WWE is if he go in the Hall of Fame and that's it. And just let him do his thing. But at the same time, you got a guy like MJF that can talk. Oh, my God, this guy can talk. And then you got a guy that is like CM Punk that can talk. My God, can this guy talk? And then you get these two guys that just have a rivalry, and then these two guys just talk shit to each other the entire time, like through their whole rivalry until they come up to their matches, because MJF might just say some shit, and he might bring AJ Lee in. But then, CM Punk, he's that type of dude that talks shit the way he'll talk about the past or how you wasn't good enough or how you wasn't good to go to this company or that company. Dude, it would just be an epic war of words. if you was to ask me right now, okay, two guys that would be like back in the Attitude Era, right? Let's just say the Attitude Era. And you were just like, okay, two guys from WCW, one guy from WCW, one guy from WWF. They have an epic war of words against each other. Who would you want? And let's just say this is 1999 or 1998, right? My obvious choice would have probably, if this was 1998, I'd have been like, okay, well, give me Stone Cold and Roddy Piper. Because Roddy Piper was just killing it. He didn't give a fuck what he said. And then Stone Cold was the man. But then if you would say, okay, transfer it to more of 99. I'd be like, okay, I would love to see Roddy Piper at the time wrestle The Rock, because I would just love to see these two guys just have war of words. Now, in this day and age, I'm more like, okay, I got two guys that I want to see have war of words in a rivalry in the same company, MJF and CM Punk. It's endless. They'd be like, well, what about anybody on WWE side? Well, I would say Adam Cole, but he's not hanging with none of these two guys on the mic, but they're like the best that they have to hang with these two on the mic and to hang with them in the ring. So, unless you're doing the old proverbial WWE shtick of Roman Reigns, then no. And then obviously you would say John Cena, because John Cena has been in the company so long, he just know how to hold his own. But MJF and CM Punk, that's just like an epic war of words for me right now. And it's coming. Trust me, folks, it's coming. The biggest thing that came out of CM Punk mouth on this was not too much of a biggie, but the fans kept chanting, yes, yes, yes. And CM Punk looked at everybody and said, look, guys, this is not my stick, but be patient. Be patient. So we're definitely getting a Brian Danielson, which I already knew he was, because his signing was more definite than CM Punk. We got CM Punk first. I guess that's why we got CM Punk first. They was like, oh, you don't think his shit is definite? Give me him. You'll get him first. You know, by the simple fact they were selling out all these Chicago arenas and shit, and then they got to do All In. They really want to sell out All In, and everybody's about to watch All In, All Out, whatever the fuck it's called. And rumor has it that Daniel Bryan or Brian Danielson, I'm going to just say Daniel Bryan until he call him whatever the fuck they want to call him in AEW. My philosophy is how they're going to do his entrance is going to be a little bit different than CM Punk's. They have to do it the, okay, a match just ended, he's coming out. So what I'm assuming is Kenny Omega is not losing to Christian Cage for the, of course he lost the Impact title when I think they said Christian retired the Impact title. That was just a way to get that title. If that was true, because like I said, I don't know how true it is. I didn't see him with the title at all or nothing like that. But yeah, of course, if he retired the title, it's like, okay, that's just a way to get that shit off the fucking AEW television screen, because come on now, that title doesn't mean dick to us. That was just a way to up, you know, Kenny Omega and just to make a feud even more hotter. But let's be honest, Christian Cage is not beating Kenny Omega for the AEW title. I don't see it. Kenny Omega in AEW's books and in my book is until I see CM Punk, because ever since CM Punk left, Kenny Omega has been all the rage all over the world. He's pretty much the best in the world. And that's no lie. I mean, besides Daniel Bryan coming back and stuff, but like you know, on a you know non-stop basis from Japan to AEW and all this other stuff, Kenny Omega's been the best in the world, okay? But that's going to be the key, best in the world. Who else calls themselves the best in the world? Now you got three guys on the same roster that calls themselves the best in the world. But they're going to do it to Daniel Bryan to stick it to Kenny Omega, because they're not letting Christian Cage beat him. Trust me, Christian Cage is there to just elevate guys like Chris Jericho is. So we're going to get I feel like that's what it's going to be. And then we're going to get a big pop, because I feel like even though Daniel Bryan is not from Chicago, he's still big in those areas. He's one of those hardcore wrestling fans that people love to see. And Chicago are going to pop big for him. And the only other thing that happened big on this show was Malachi Black still kicking ass, taking names. He beat up Arn Anderson's son, and then he beat up Arn Anderson. And then I forgot the guy's name. Something Johnson came out to the end. Pretty much he's about to get his skull kicked in. Look, they're building up Aleister Black, Malachi Black, whatever the fuck, real good. And I'm loving it. He's just killing people. So he might be another person that's in contention for a title shot in the near future, which I can't wait to see him versus CM Punk, him versus Darby Allin, him versus Daniel Bryan. We're about to get a bunch of dream matches that us hardcore fans have been always wanting to see. So, with that said, AEW's got a good, nice talent roster. Oh, and the other thing is Dark Order has having all sorts of problems. I don't know if this is an indication of what I want to see. I kind of wanted to see the Dark Order have all sorts of problems that might bring in Bray Wyatt to make the Dark Order actually a Dark Order. I don't know. Because, you know, it would be a... I mean, because they can pretty much bring Bray Wyatt in on his own. They can call him by his regular name. It don't even fucking matter at this point. And he could just be the scary son of a bitch that he can be. And like I said before, I think his 90 days is up soon. I gotta see when he was released, and I gotta calculate it. But his 90 days will be up around Halloween. I would just like start really bringing this guy in around like Halloween time. Like you don't gotta necessarily do it on Halloween day, unless like Dynamite or Rampage fall on those days, which I'm gonna check right now, because that would just be fucking perfect. You don't even have to do vignettes. You could just have this motherfucker come in just surprisingly. I mean, if I was them, I would do vignettes only because, and then don't have like no, you know, kind of ramp. Because, like I said, I think he like was fired the beginning of this month or end of the last month, which means, yeah, his 90 days will be up. I would bring him in on, like, the 27th or the 29th. That's around, like, Halloween Day. Because the 31st is on a Sunday. And like I said, with him, I would do him a whole lot different. Like, when you bring him in, don't let him trash WWE. You leave him away from that type of shit. Just have his character be as fucking lunatical as possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, be crazy as fucking. I know I said lunatical because it's not an actual word, but I just would love to see Bray Wyatt back in the ring. Or, I forgot his actual name. You can use his actual fucking name because WWE can't see you over using your actual name. So, and now, Wyndham Rotunda. You can just use his real fucking name. Or you can call him something because, like I said, I think they said he make his own mask for a living. He can bring his own mask in. It don't got to look necessarily like the Fiend, but what the fuck WWE going to do if it's not an actual Fiend mask? So, if it don't look like it's burnt to a crisp or the actual Fiend mask, they can't do shit about it. I would just love to see this guy back in the ring because, like I said, I think WWE held his potential down. And I think for years, people, and then, you know, for years, I think people already, like, was blinded by the whole Vince effect. They, oh my God, he's giving opportunities. And no, I think Vince gives opportunities now, but hold the potential back just a little bit. Where he like, I'm going to give you this, but don't do so much too big because this guy I'm trying to push better than everybody. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Roman Reigns because, like I said, Roman Reigns is doing his best work of his life right now. So I can't wait till tomorrow night to see SmackDown. That's just personally me. Because, like I said, I've enjoyed wrestling since last Friday. And I've been, and I think I'm going to enjoy wrestling even going into the All In pay-per-view. Let me get that right. Let me make sure I'm calling it right. All In. No, I typed it in wrong. I typed it in wrong, folks. Folks, I think I really typed the shit in wrong. Hold on. I was right. All Out. Okay, I was wrong. It's All Out. Yep, All Out, September the 5th. And let me go over the matches real quick before I even, you know, because I need to get better at this. We got the John Moxley versus Satoshi Kojima. We got more than five matches now. We got fucking eight. And I'm not even including the pre-show match. So we got pretty much nine matches, but we got John Moxley wrestling. We got Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander, which I knew. We got Chris Jericho versus MJF. We already know Jericho loses, you know. CM Punk versus Darby Allin. The Young Bucks versus the winners of the Tag Team Eliminator match. The Big Show was wrestling. QT Marshall. So that's pretty much your shit piss break. You had Pac-Man Jones versus Andrade. That's going to be a good one. Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage. Nyla Rose versus Thunder Rosa versus The Bunny versus Big Swole versus Julia Hart versus pretty much it's a 21 women Casino Royale match for a future women's championship match. So one of these women is going to fight Britt Baker because right now, who is AEW stupid to take the title off Britt Baker? No, they're not dumb. They're not stupid at all. They're not going to take the title off Britt Baker. Your piss break is going to be Big Show. I think you're going to get a good-ass, you know, back-and-forth wrestling match. Pac versus Andrade. I think you're going to get your another good singles one-on-one match between CM Punk and Darby Allin, but I think it's going to take a more brutal turn. I think that's going to be pretty much your besides the Young Bucks in a steel cage, they're going to, you know, face whoever's the Tag Team Eliminator winner. I think CM Punk and Darby Allin is going to be more brutal than what people think because I think it's going to be more of a it's scheduled as a singles one-on-one match. I think it's going to be a brutal, hard kick-ass match, personally. And then I think Daniel Bryan is just going to come back and you know, confront Kenny Omega after him and Christian Cage have a good match because I still think to this day Christian, and let me be very, very clear. Not a Christian hater, folks. I love Christian. I was always a Christian fan. You know what I'm saying? I just think that Christian is at this point the way he's just going to put over other talent. But I think he can still put out good matches. Now, when he do put out this good match with Kenny Omega, I think he might take a little bit of a break. Not a hiatus. You might see him in segments or something like that, but not no high-stakes match where it's like beating the fucking shit out of him, because let's be very, very clear. Christian Cage is not no spring chicken. But Kenny Omega is, and Daniel Bryan can still go, and that's a dream match in itself. Like, share, subscribe, folks. That's pretty much the end of this show. If you like what I do, trust me, please share with everybody. Please share. Tell everybody if you have a Facebook, just share the, you know, link on Facebook. If you want the link, you could just take the link from anchor.fm/myopinionblack. You can take the link, you can share whatever you want to. It doesn't matter. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, however you can share it. Instagram, I don't give a damn. Just share the show so more people can listen to me. I'm doing my part to share. Just please share, folks. If you don't, that's still fine with me. If you'd like to leave messages, you can please leave me messages on anchor.fm/myopinionblack. Messages are always a plus if I ever get them. Like I said, people don't really leave me messages because I pretty much feel like I already answer questions that people already think that I already got the answers to. They'll probably ask me certain shit. I'm just like, that's fine. You can also listen to me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. I'm on all these platforms, folks. You can listen to me on each of these platforms. As soon as I post a show up and you have these platforms on your phone, any kind of device you have, the show posts right up. And I only know that because it posts right up on my shit. Sorry for cussing. That's it, though, folks. I'm out of here. I'll definitely do another show tomorrow, or at least Saturday. At least by Saturday night, talking about Rampage and SmackDown. SmackDown will pretty much be the focus, because I know Rampage will probably pretty much, you know, gloss over pretty much what happened on Dynamite. Because let's be clear with that one, too. The Rampage was for them to build more audience to them by bringing in CM Punk last week. But we already know that their A show is Dynamite. It's a two-hour show. Come on now. It's their A show. Not saying that they're not going to treat Rampage a little less. It's just, it's their A show. They know it. They just wanted to get, they had to get more views on the product. Come on now. This is a company at the end of the day. As much as AEW, we're wrestling first and then your company. So let's be, they're smart about this. And I get it. I love it. Look, I'm loving everything that they've been doing so far for the past couple of weeks. Hey, I love it. It's smart. Smart business moves, right? You know, I'm going to still watch AEW Rampage, though. They got a couple of good matches that I'm going to check out. I'm definitely just curious to see what SmackDown do tomorrow with Brock and Becky. We're definitely going to check those things out. I'll definitely talk about those things tomorrow night, or at least by Saturday morning. And I'll definitely have it out. And I'll put it to you like this. I'll definitely have a show tomorrow. Only because people are like, oh, is he really going to have it? Yeah, because Saturday throughout the day, I'm going to be very, very busy. I got college football starting on Saturday. So you'll definitely get a show tomorrow night. But other than that, folks, I'm out. Everybody stay safe. Have a safe week. Not going to say that yet. I'll say that tomorrow. But everybody have a safe day. Everybody enjoy their Friday. I'm out.